This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. Three points of view in three capitals during Ukraine conflict. Moscow point of view. Professor, a very good evening to you. The Washington Post, headline within these last hours. From London. Russia will soon exhaust its combat capabilities, comma, Western assessments predict. Subhead. Small shifts in territorial control matter less than the overall balance of forces, comma, which analysts say could shift back in favor of Ukraine in the coming months. Predict. Professor, Moscow's point of view. It has heavy artillery. It is destroying the Donbass building by building. They're making it desert and calling it peace, which Tacitus reminds us was useful when you were raging against Boudica. I don't know that it's all that useful raging against NATO, but there it is. However, the British intelligence, which is the author of this prediction, says that Russia's exhausted. Good evening to you.
Good evening. I think that the British may be onto something here, but they're onto a long-term trend that Putin is well aware of. And I think that Putin, despite this news, should be in a good mood today. Because although he may be running out of weapons, he has unleashed in eastern Ukraine Russian heavy artillery, and reports say that the Russians have warehouses full of weapons going back to World War II, tens of thousands of tanks and artillery pieces and all the rest. And he has right now a 10 to 15 times advantage over what the Ukrainians have. And the result of this is what's referred to as small territorial losses by the Ukrainians. But the Ukrainians are slowly withdrawing. And the reason they're withdrawing is simply that they do not have the artillery that would be required for them to fire shots back, one shot back for every shot that the Russians fire. Now, Putin knows that we Americans could change all this. We have something called High Mobility Artillery Rocket System, HIMARS, that could give the Ukrainians military superiority that would enable them to end this war by a decisive victory in which the Russian troops and the Russian troops in Donbass would be basically encircled and destroyed. That would not be dangerous escalation. It would provide an opportunity for everybody to exit quietly. So here's the question. How many HIMARS systems are we slow walking to the front? Well, this is not the Yom Kippur War when we dropped everything and sent everything we had to Israel. The last I heard, we're sending four HIMARS systems. And a general said to me the other day, that's like sending four tanks. We're at a French level of reinforcement. We remember Mr. Macron noting that he was sending, I think, six more of the dread Caesar 155 millimeter French howitzer. That's not going to make a darn bit of difference. What does this indicate? Four HIMARS, unless a whole lot and other things start following, means that we have decided that we don't want Ukraine to win an actual military victory, and we are preventing it. Instead, we are living in a world in which somehow there is going to be a balanced and negotiated peace, for which war is only the prelude for the negotiations. In technical terms, what we are showing is that we have abandoned what's called escalation dominance. That means militarily that whatever the other guy does, we can match and we can do more than, which means that if the other guy escalates, we can always stay ahead of him. Go ahead.
No, the the puzzle here is, does Moscow see this? Does Moscow understand this drip, drip, drip of supply?
I think that now that they've seen the situation with the artillery and the failure of the Western alliance in the United States to really give high priority to getting those guns to the front, I think that they are understanding. And remember, Italy, France, and Germany, they're on the phone to Moscow regularly. I don't know whether we're intercepting it or not, but they're looking for a way out. So I think that Putin is seeing himself as Peter the Great, as I'll explain in a second, and he sees us as being, as essentially dithering. Our president is now going to Europe a year and 2 weeks after his visit to Geneva, at which Putin took his measure, rather as Khrushchev took the measure of John Kennedy. And I think we have made it very, very clear, in particularly in Mr. Blinken's very unusual, it's really his self-contradictory talk, in which he talked about the war, and then he said the only solution is negotiations. Well, we could have negotiated with Hitler until the cows became so aged that they came home and collapsed, and Mr. Hitler would never have made concessions. It was only when the bombs started raining down in Berlin and the Red Army started crawling all over the Reichstag that Hitler decided the time had come to put an end to himself, although there was a successor Nazi government under Admiral Dönitz. They were all set to carry on. Now, what we seem to want is negotiations, and we think that we can somehow stop the fighting, satisfy Putin, and then strong-arm Zelensky into signing off. Now, I think that we misread the Russians. If you look at the Great Northern War, Peter's greatest triumph, he was very, very badly beaten at Narva in 1700. So what did he do? He paused, he reconstituted, and he pushed to the decisive victory at Poltava in 1709. I think Putin says, yeah, we've had a rough time, but like Peter, we're getting our act together, and he's doing all kinds of things with nuclear weapons and stuff that we don't even have time to go into, that he's with Belarus and so forth. But here's what I would say. Putin has Peter's playbook, and if his forces start winning, and if they start winning because we are intentionally denying the Ukrainians weapons that we have and they need, then I will promise you one thing. Putin ain't heading for no green baize table and negotiations. He's heading straight for the Western frontier, Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, Romania. That, the idea that he's looking for a balanced settlement is ridiculous. He will punish the Ukrainians brutally. He will utterly humiliate Biden, who after all said of Putin, this man cannot remain in power. Putin remembers that sort of thing. And Putin's Russia will have defeated the West. This is what I believe Putin is thinking. Now, he may be wrong, but sadly, it seems by appearances that we're cooperating with his operations in the East by preventing the Ukrainians from stopping them. And if we're cooperating with him, of course, that helps his odds.
I'm speaking with Professor H.J. Machender, International Relations. We're looking at the point of view of three capitals in Ukraine conflict on the eve of, during the G7, but on the eve of the NATO meeting in Madrid, where there is going to be tough talk about the days ahead. For example, the New York Times has this headline, "A New Task for President Biden, Readying Allies for a Long Conflict in Ukraine." When we come back, Keith's point of view, knowing the NATO doubters are meeting in Madrid. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.